Headline edition, July 8, 1947. The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army. Army officers say the missile, found sometime last week, has been inspected at Roswell, New Mexico, and sent to Wright Field, Ohio, for further inspection.
They were small, gray creatures with large heads.
They were small, gray creatures.
Creatures, large creatures. Creatures, 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 creatures.
Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Pippin, and we have another program direct from Roswell about the 1947 UFO crash. This particular program is designed especially for all of you that are listening wherever you are in the world. For those of you who are planning on coming to Roswell, especially if you are a UFO buff. In a moment, we will be talking with the men who have put together, after doing a lot of research and spending a great deal of time, and actually laying out the 35 places that you need to visit in Roswell if you're interested in the UFO crash. Before we bring them on, however, listen to this. This was recorded the morning of August 1st at 4:54 and 16 seconds in the morning, before dawn. It's the sound of a meteor, a big one, one that lit up the sky of eastern New Mexico, making it seem like daylight. Several people near Santa Fe reported seeing it. In fact, we have a video of the fireball posted on this page where this program is, if you'd like to look at it. The full recording of this meteor lasts about 3 minutes, by the way. While we're on the subject, August 12th and 13th, there will be between 50 and 100 meteors or meteorites being seen each hour. The Perseid annual meteor shower. And viewers this year actually will have a treat because the waxing crescent moon officially sets at 9:22 on August 12th, according to the U.S. Naval Observatory. So, if you missed that fireball seen near Santa Fe, then later this month you get another chance. I don't know if there'll be one that big, but there'll be a lot of them. We'll make it up in quantity. I mention all this because we'll be up at Angel Fire at the resort there, and that's fairly close to where this meteor was seen. We'll be broadcasting between September 9th and 12th at the Angel Fire Ski Lodge during the second annual paranormal symposium put on by aspiefiles.org, and that will be the first annual film festival they're having in connection with that. Paul Davids is the chairman of the film festival and has some great movies. We have a link to their website. You can go over and see what the movies are. That'll all start on Thursday, September 9th, and end up on Sunday, September 12th. New Mexico is a great place to visit, especially if you're interested in the paranormal or in UFOs. Here in Roswell, we have three people who you need to meet. And they'll be on the show here in just a moment. Noy Torres, E.J. Wilson, and John LeMay. Noy has a new book out, and if you're coming to Roswell, we would recommend that you get it. It's the ultimate guide to the 1947 Roswell UFO crash. By the way, E.J. Wilson is giving a weekly tour every Saturday morning of the locations at the Army Air Force Base that you need to see. I've been on that tour, and it's very informative and interesting. I'd recommend it to anybody. We have a link to that website as well, roswelltours.com. Welcome to the show, both of you, EJ and Noy.
Thank you, Jerry. It's good to be here.
Yes, Jerry. I'm so happy to be on your show again. It's been a while.
First of all, EJ, you actually live here in Roswell, right?
Yes, just outside of Roswell, about 18 miles from here.
Well, I mean, that's close enough. You're local. And Noy Torres, you've written books with Ruben Uarte before, but how did you come across EJ?
EJ, I came into contact with through speaking at the UFO Museum over the past 3 years.
So EJ Wilson already knew a lot about Roswell. In fact, I guess he came up with about 200 photographs for the book. Let's get the name of that book before we go any further.
Yes, the book is called The Ultimate Guide to the Roswell UFO Crash, and it's subtitled A Tour of Roswell's UFO Landmarks.
Now, I have the book. I've read the book. And I tell you, if you're coming to Roswell, if you're going to be a tourist, at any time you need to pick up this book. Well, you don't even have to, you know, come to Roswell to enjoy it. It's got the pictures and everything, 35 different locations within the city limits of Roswell that were important to the 1947 UFO crash story. Now, EJ is continuing a tour that you guys did over the weekend, and it was he's doing it, going to do it every weekend, I think. It's a walking tour of the Army Air Force Base, and it's very interesting. And I want to compliment you, EJ. It's a great tour, full of information, and you see the places, the locations, and your imagination goes wild. I really enjoyed it, and it looked like you did too as the tour guide.
Indeed they were. I haven't had this much fun in 10 years. Just to meet other people as excited and interested in the project as we are, and to ask questions, and then to feel like I have information for them that I can share and help them out, and we just had the best time. This whole festival, and especially the tours, is, for me, better than Christmas as far as the atmosphere and the sense of camaraderie that we had with everyone.
Well, you really don't have to go on the tour to enjoy the book. It's an excellent book, and it's unique.
Type of thing has never been done before, a book that not only tells you the history of what happened with the Roswell crash, but shows you with pictures now as they look now, the locations, and also as they looked in 1947.
You know, it's interesting that that book is available downtown, but not at the UFO Museum. You have to go down the street there to the Roswell Landing, which is a unique little gift shop anyway, to pick up a copy. Now, they can order the book if they want to off the web here, and we have a link to that, as I said earlier. It's amazing to me the UFO Museum did not stock the book, did not back this tour idea. I think it's a great idea. Sometimes you just don't understand what they're doing. However, they did do, for your credit, Noah, they let you go ahead and appear there for the fourth straight year. And EJ, you were a tour guide there at the UFO Museum, huh?
Okay, as a tour guide at the museum, I was the only paid tour guide for the 2 years that I was there. And to me, it was...
What years was that?
That was in... basically, I started in May of 2008 and...
Okay, so fairly recently.
Yes, and worked through March of...
Of 10.
Of this year.
Yeah, okay.
2010.
Okay. There you go.
Right. Were these outside tours or what?
It was all in the museum, and what we would do is... if anyone wanted information about any specific exhibit, of course, I would help with that. A lot of people wanted to kind of go around and graze on their own, and that's fine. And then some wanted to actually be have a guided tour, and I was there for that also. I also did orientations for large tour groups, buses that would arrive and things like this. And I would give them the orientation in the big exhibit hall area on the stage at the back.
Now, EJ, you're giving these tours every Saturday morning, and I guess you will increase the frequency of the tours as the demand grows, as people find out about it. And I would recommend it highly. In fact, there were some things on that tour I didn't know about, like the Flight Control Center, the time I took the tour. You and Noy covered that pretty well.
Just down the street from Hangar 84, the infamous place where the wreckage and the bodies were supposedly taken after they were retrieved by the military from north of town. And then right next to it is this Flight Ops building, where eyewitness Robert Shirky, who was acting as the chief of operations that day in 47, saw a procession of men carrying cardboard boxes with twisted metallic debris inside, headed out toward the tarmac where there was a waiting B-29 bomber powered up and ready to receive the cargo. Cargo bay open, and Shirky saw these five or six men dressed in dark suits. He described them as looking like FBI agents, carrying these boxes full of metallic debris. And Jesse Marcel, Sr., who was a base intelligence officer, was also carrying a box, and his box contained what looked like a metallic I-beam with some purplish-black hieroglyphic-like symbols. And interestingly enough, as many of your listeners know, this was the exact description of the I-beam pieces that Jesse Marcel's son, Jesse Marcel Jr., has many times talked about as having seen those pieces in the kitchen of their home on 7th Street here in Roswell during the height of the Roswell incident, when his dad had gone out to the Foster Ranch and picked up some of the pieces, brought them home so that his son and wife could look at them the night before it became totally classified and the lid of secrecy was slammed on everything. He got to see it the night before that.
Jay, why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about that walking tour, some of the other stops that you take? I thought it was an amazing tour.
Yes, okay. Just to tell everyone what we're talking about, the when we're going through the book, Noe discovered that 9 of the very key locations were at the base, and we were fortunate that they were all within walking distance of each other, and that's what the walking tour is about. The other locations around town were also good locations. They just, you couldn't walk to them from where we were at the base, and they included the Blanchard residence on down, which is near the base, yes. Also the Marcel residence. There was a
Ballard funeral home.
The Ballard funeral home, both radio stations.
Roswell Daily
at
Record.
The time, yes, the Daily Record. We have pictures of that also.
Now, for our listeners who can't be in Roswell or go to Roswell ever, they can pick up the book and they can see pictures of all these places, right?
Yes, EJ took over 200 pictures of what the locations look like today. So really, it's a virtual tour for people who can't make it to Roswell. It's all in the book. But, of course, if they can make it to Roswell, EJ is offering tours every weekend to anyone interested. He's continuing the tour idea. The website is roswelltours.com.
Now, if you are in Roswell and you don't have the roswell.com internet for some reason or another, you can actually just go by downtown. There's a place called Roswell Landing, great gift store. It's got everything that you'd ever want about Roswell, really. All kinds of books and videos. Gene Fraser runs that place. Great place. Anyway, you can go by there and he can get you in touch with EJ for a tour. EJ, by the way, are you a native or how'd you get here? I mean, what's the deal?
I started out as an Army brat, so I was born in West Germany, Landstuhl, West Germany.
Oh, no, he still has a haircut.
Short haircut. And grew up moving really all over the states, but mainly stayed in Georgia. And I got started interested in the UFO phenomenon in 1964. And I know what you're saying, Jerry. EJ, you're far too young. And thank you. You're very kind.
Yeah.
I was just 4 years old.
Gee, I hadn't thought about to say that. You're right. I should have said that.
So my mother came home one day, and she had been in a group of about 10 people who had witnessed a saucer landed on the side of the road in broad daylight next to a power substation, you know, concrete pad with transformers on it, and no visible windows or portholes, but of course she didn't tell anyone but the immediate family, but that's what got us all interested. Even as a four-year-old, I understood that this was a major, extraordinary event, and just to know that there are beings other than people, and they're visiting. And so I have done a lot of research since then. And,
so, EJ, how did you end up here? I mean, in Roswell.
I moved from Georgia to Colorado to be with my sweetheart. Hi, Annie. And and when after I had shoulder surgery, I couldn't shovel snow anymore. So I said, "Hey Annie, we have to move someplace warm." And this is so we started looking at Roswell. Of course, I knew about Roswell. Don't tell her that was my plan all along. But the climate here is excellent. Cost of living is great, and of course you have the UFO phenomenon here and. So 1 month after we moved here, I was at the 07 festival meeting Stanton Friedman, and I think Noe was there, Noe and Ruben, and all of my heroes, And it's just been a joy to work with Ruben and meet everybody.
Hangar 84 is very fascinating, and you feel an ambiance when you go in there. And I was lucky enough to be able to do that. So were you, Noy, before they rented it out. It's now a business. They renovate aircraft in there. So it's hard to get in there. But EJ, have you ever made it inside Hangar 84?
Yes, we got lucky that day. We understand hardly anybody ever gets in there because they're dismantling aircraft. That's what they do.
It's a hazardous work area. You know, there's liability issues with their insurance carrier. Mm-hmm. We understand that.
So when we visited, I had really zero hope that they would let me in. Annie actually recommended I just ask and go ahead and get turned down if that's what's going to happen.
That's the best approach.
And the nice lady, her name was Sinan, and I'm sorry, I don't
know. Martinez.
Martinez.
Sinan Martinez.
I'm glad you gave her a plug. You mentioned her name. That's good. John LeMay just walked into the room here at the convention center here in Roswell. He wrote the afterword to your book, guys, as well as helped out with the photos. He has a new book out, by the way, called Towns of Lincoln County, part of the Image of America series. Lots of good Old West pictures in that book. It's a good companion piece to his first book, Chavez County, Images of America series.
And I want to kid him a little bit. His excellent book on Images of America Roswell contains a little section at the back about the Roswell UFO incident. Well, our book, Ultimate Guide to the Roswell UFO Crash, is mainly about the UFO incident and contains a little section in the back which John wrote about the history of Roswell. So I got him back for his treatment of the UFO incident.
But now, EJ, you took the current pictures, right?
Yeah, I took the current photographs.
Yeah.
I met John at the Historical Society along with another very nice and cooperative gentleman by the name of Elvis Fleming.
I've talked to Elvis.
I got to say, John, you were super help, and we couldn't have done it without you because it is such a big difference between just showing a hair salon today and when you have the original photo showing it as the radio station, then you can put the history. It's like you're not just reading about it, you're traveling back in time. So we can't thank you enough for those excellent, excellent archival historical photographs.
But originally I had much more... let's transport the reader back in time to 1947 and show him what the streets look like, all the stores look like, what all the sites look like. So it kind of evolved, but that historical, the importance of Roswell's history was always an integral part at the core of what I was trying to do. And John and Elvis Fleming and EJ all helped me to make sure that was well represented in the book. So
we were driving out to be part of the walking tour at the old Army Air Force Base location. Something was brought home to me. You know, a lot of people have always asked, well, why would they bring the UFO underneath a tarp on a flatbed truck right through town, even at 3 a.m., which was reported? Well, there's really no other way to get there. And I imagine Roswell probably didn't pay much attention to these military convoys.
I think the military base accounted for half the population, didn't they?
That's correct.
We also need to mention that Jesse Marcel Jr. wrote the foreword to the book. It's an inspiring essay. You need to read it. EJ, is this your first attempt at writing a book?
Well, yes and no. my brother is a long-haul trucker, and he wrote me about 500 letters from the road, which were hysterically funny, and my responses to them that I like to think were also very entertaining, and I compiled them into a book that I haven't published as of this date, but that's where I sort of cut my teeth on writing text for people to read. Prior to that, I had just published a few articles on mathematics and things like this for just a specialized audience.
So besides being a tour guide, you probably could teach mathematics?
I actually do. I'm a substitute teacher. And
see how I get into this stuff?
They let me teach anything. And
actually, it's much better bringing you up that way. Well, now, EJ, you don't have a job. What are you doing?
No, he talked me into it. He has been a substitute teacher before, and
I understand. That's actually a good idea if you're a writing or a freelancer or
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
He was making a living as an actor at one time and sold cars and taught and whatever.
That's great because I tell people, and they say, well, why aren't you just a real teacher? I don't think they're trying to be mean, but I say, well, this is the best of both worlds. Yes, I don't have to make lesson plans or grade papers. I just go and communicate and connect.
Okay, let's get back to the tour. You have some pretty interesting information, some things I'd never heard before, like the shooting of the ET.
All of this exciting stuff, the ET that supposedly escaped from Hangar 84, I'm sorry, and was shot while moving across the base one evening. All of this exciting stuff in the case occurred right here within the current city limits. So that's the exciting stuff that the people that went out with us on the tours, they were just amazed. You could see it in their faces.
I thoroughly enjoyed the walking tour, you guys. One of the things I liked was you allowed the people in the group to ask questions and make statements. And in fact, I couldn't resist it. When I went on the tour, I had to get into the act as well.
One of the things that you brought up that I hadn't thought about was the body language of the various principal key players in the Roswell incident in those photographs. Just reading their body language
right.
and their expressions on their faces gives you a lot of insight.
You can see in Marcel's eyes and the blow of the pictures that... Something's going on here.
Something's going on. He's not happy about it. He's being
basically, I understand that when he walked in, he said to the general, well, the major, or DuBois. He said, well, this is not what I brought. And he said, and the general jumped in and says, don't you say a word. Just be quiet. I'm going to be talking. Now, we can't prove that. We don't have a recording, but.
Of course, DuBose came forward later in his life and admitted that the whole thing was a cover-up,
mm-hmm.
that was not the original material that was picked up at the Foster Ranch. So
we're going to wrap up this hour. Appreciate you guys. You've had a long day down at the museum and come down to the convention center and where we broadcast from. We have another conference that we'll be broadcasting from in New Mexico that will be up in Angel Fire in September. And I'd recommend people, there's still some room there at the lodge. It's a great time to be there. It's a transition between summer and winter. Last year, during one of our broadcasts, in 30 minutes' time, we had hail, rain, lightning, thunderstorm, sunshine, and snow.
And Jerry, I want to invite folks to visit our website, roswellbooks.com, roswellbooks.com. They can find copies of our books and our companion website, roswelltours.com, where they can find out about how to go on a tour of the former Roswell Army Airfield with E.J. Wilson, who's been with us here.
And thanks a lot, all of you.
Thank you.
This is Jerry Pippin, and we are broadcasting from Roswell.